Following podcast is a Jill Divine Media production.
Christianity has become known for judgy people, strange words, ancient stories, confusing rules, and a members-only mindset. This is why I stayed away from the church for so long, but it's not supposed to be that way. I'm Jill Divine, a former radio personality with three tattoos, a love for a good tequila, and who's never read the entire Bible. Yet, here I am, hosting a podcast about faith. The Normal Goes a Long Way podcast is your home for real conversations with real people using real language about how faith and real life intersect. Welcome to the conversation.
Welcome back to another episode of Normal Goes a Long Way. I'm Jill Divine along with Pastor Jim Mueller, no stranger to the podcast. You've been on several times, but it's been a while. But we always come back to you for your expertise and knowledge.
I hope not to disappoint, but thank you.
At Messiah, where you are the lead pastor, where I work, we are in the middle of a sermon series called The Gospel According to You Two. And was it maybe a year ago we did The Gospel According to Johnny Cash?
Yeah, a couple years ago.
Okay. So it had me thinking, okay, wait a minute. I understand why we're doing it. And also connect to it because of my past being on the radio, having music, which is considered secular, which, by the way, did you know I never knew what the word or the term secular meant until I started working in ministry? Yeah. I had no idea what that meant.
Right.
And basically it just means not associated to religion, right?
Yeah, well, I guess the way we use it is to say it's not sacred. Some things, some music would be dedicated as sacred music.
Okay.
And others would be secular music. I'm not sure it's probably the most helpful word either. I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's just, it feels kind of like a, you're on this side, I'm on this side. And if you listen to secular music, you're this. It's right. Like, no. Anyway, so secular music to some. There are so many different spiritual undertones. There are so many different things that we don't even recognize because it isn't in a church setting, because it isn't in or on Christian radio. So I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts and how you all prepared for these messages, because we're also going to have the other pastors on to get what they did to prepare. I know a little bit, but I was blown away on that very first week that we had and some of the things that you told me. And I'm talking about the U2 series with the song Beautiful Day. We'll get to that, but let's back up and the reason why. Why are we doing this? Why is it important?
Yeah, well, thank you for asking. I think we all know that the very best art and the very best music, it's like it can't help but to have a spiritual component to it. You can try to avoid spiritual themes, but what happens a lot of times is the thing you're working on becomes a little flat because we're more than just bodies.
Yeah.
And when you really tap into music that's really speaks to you, it's like we're saying there's more going on below the surface. And I noticed even as a kid that I was drawn to music that tapped into the searching.
Mm-hmm.
That tapped into my own spiritual curiosity. And all that being said, I grew up in a church. I grew up in a traditional church that had hymns and an organ and had really bad choirs. And I had that music experience on Sundays. And my parents even listened to classical music in the car. Not that all the classical music was church music. It wasn't. It would have been considered classical secular music. Ugh. In many cases. But I just noticed, like, as a kid, I was drawn to music like you two.
Mm-hmm.
That's from my childhood. And now it's in my adulthood. I guess they don't go out of favor
no.
at all. They're playing in Vegas right now in the Sphere. It's nuts. When I think about the spiritual component, I really mean it like this, like not in a fundamentalist sense, like the song has all the answers or that I have all the answers or that religion has all the answers, but just a searching for more.
Mm-hmm.
That was the music I was really drawn to. And I like the idea that if I know that if things get bad enough And sometimes they do in life. Sometimes you can even find an atheist friend folding their hands.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced that. Because even for the person who just at their core denies that there could ever be a God, sometimes in life when things get bad enough, and it does, sometimes it does get bad enough, I'll notice even those people in my life folding their hands, or at least asking me, hey, I don't know what this means, but could you pray for me? So I think the series, The Gospel According to You Too, was born out of my experience, all of our experience as a team here, that there's been music that didn't originate in the church, and it maybe wasn't even intended for the church, but those songs somehow resonated with our souls. And it wasn't as clearly defined in its ideology or theology as maybe a proper hymn would be, but it felt wrong to call it simply secular. Like, some songs are great just because they're fun. You can rock out to them. You can dance to them. But there's some out there that tap into something deeper, and they're not born out of the church, and yet they still harmonize with the soul. Because at the end of the day, like, everything that is beautiful, everything that is love, I believe has to have some amount of the divine at the heart of it. And so you don't have to be a Christian hymn writer to write things that beautify and honor God. I don't know. That's kind of my general thought.
Well, and I was thinking, too, of something that people will say, that church is everywhere, whether it's you're drawn to nature and the beauty of the landscape of wherever you are, or like me, like you, we're drawn to music, and there are certain things where maybe that song, it doesn't have anything to do with religion, your, you know, faith component, but there's something that draws you, and it makes you feel God. It makes you feel like there's some sort of connection.
Right.
And that's what I love to talk about, because I think this is a whole nother thing, but it's like the whole, you know, I don't want people to think that they can't have a spiritual component because they don't come to church every Sunday. I don't want people to think they can't say they're a Christian because they don't open their Bible. Like, these are the things that help you grow closer to Jesus, I believe, even from my own experience. But there's so many things surrounding us that bring us to that next step. And music, for sure, for me, is that next step.
Yeah, well, I like what you said about nature. I think it's important not to worship nature, but I also think it is very, very important to acknowledge what the Psalms acknowledge over and over and over again, that, like, the mountains and the sky, they all, like, sing the praises of God. So there is a spiritual experience that happens, and we see, like, all the sages had nature experiences. Jesus himself had to retreat to the wilderness, had to retreat into nature.
Yeah.
Not just away from the crowds, I don't think. I think he had to retreat into nature to get that particular prayer experience that he needed at that time. Like, he knew something intense was about to happen. In one example, he's about to cross the water and there's going to be a storm, and he's got to be with his disciples. And then when they get to the other side, they're going to deal with, the story is, they're going to deal with a man who's so demon-possessed. He seems to be the most demon-possessed man the Bible ever describes. And so right before all that happens, what does Jesus decide to do? Not just pray. He retreats into nature and he prays, because he knows his connection with his Father in heaven needs to be more intense, or at least that's what I kind of see in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure most of us who have a faith all have our nature retreat stories,
like, yeah,
where something really spoke to us, or we were able to find some peace enough to be able to listen for God a little bit more. And I think in music, it's certainly the same way. Like, I know I have a few mantras in my life, a few songs that are like mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I like hundreds of songs.
Yeah.
And I like hundreds of Christian songs and hundreds of secular songs. But there's a couple that, like, that's when my soul sings.
Yeah. It seems obvious to the listener, or even to my closest friends and family, that music would be the way that God is speaking to me and through me. And I did not realize that until just honestly a few short months ago. And now I know it. Mm. I know it. And I think, do you remember our music connection for the Drive Conference? Do you remember this? I'm going to walk you through it if you don't.
You're going to walk me through it.
Okay. So a couple years ago, we attended a conference called Drive in Atlanta. And
you were pretty new on staff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it was really like, this is a whole new thing for me. And I remember the first night or the first day, whatever, I didn't know all of the music. And I started to doubt, because it was like a worship service, and I started to doubt what I was doing. And I started to doubt me being in ministry. And some insecurities came up or whatever. And so the next morning, we go to worship, and they open with a Led Zeppelin tribute. Ugh. And I immediately was like, what? This is amazing. And I still didn't realize. I was like, I know all these songs. This is so cool. Well, you and me and another coworker, we were talking about music, and I told you both how I was feeling, and I said, it's kind of like one of those things that here at Messiah, and I don't know if other churches do this, there's a certain song that if you don't know the clapping part of it, then you kind of feel left out. And I said, it's that song about gardens being turned into graves. And you're like, oh, Jill, I hope that's not the case. It's graves turned into gardens. And I was like, oh, that makes more sense. And so we were joking around about the clapping.
Sure, a better message, right? Yeah.
Right. At the time, I was like, yeah. Huh? And then the next day, closing worship, they played that song.
Mm.
And I was like, what is happening? And then I started picking up on those things.
You know, it's funny. I guess I forgot that they had the Zeppelin.
Oh my gosh.
Medley. But you know what?
Like, it was so cool.
I remember it now.
Yeah.
As you said it, I'm like, well, of course they did. I mean, I grew up with Zeppelin. It makes complete sense to me. Yeah. My guess is most churches would have seen that and thought, absolutely not.
Right.
They can't do. In fact, maybe that's the opposite of the thing. And then there's a part of me that's like, yeah, actually, that's sort of the point. And then there's also a part of me that's like, you've never really listened to Zeppelin then. Because I have. And, you know, I'm not going to take any of them and make them Pope. But there's something behind that music. And makes complete sense why they did that. And I do love that song you're talking about, Graves into Gardens. But
not Gardens into Graves.
Yeah, and by the way, you're not the only person here who says Gardens into Graves. I've heard a couple people say it repeatedly over and over again on accident, and it always catches me. I'm like, no,
don't say that.
Like, let's not make that mistake, please.
No.
I don't want to take anybody's garden and turn it into a grave.
No. But even like the Led Zeppelin thing, but don't you feel, this kind of goes back to the whole, I know there's some people that get really upset with the whole 99 and 1, but don't you feel like if we can capture someone, just like with the U2 songs, where all of a sudden they feel seen or they feel welcomed, isn't it easier to bring them back because of something like Where the Streets Have No Name from U2, or insert whatever song from Led Zeppelin, or insert whatever song from Johnny Cash? I don't know. I know what it feels like to feel on the outside, and you bring in a song like that, and then all of a sudden I'm like, woo, okay, I think I can do this.
I guess it all depends on what somebody's definition of church is.
Okay.
If the definition of church, which I think for a lot of people probably is this, is an escape from everything that is normal life, including high walls, barbed wire, to keep everybody safe inside for an hour a week.
Mm.
Then that definition would say we don't want anything from the outside, with just in case it could possibly corrupt us. And I think that's maybe a working definition that far too many church ministries probably have. On the other hand, I'd like to see the church flavoring more of the world. And I'd like to see the church perhaps throwing out a few more compliments to beauty that's already happening in the world, and maybe showing the world how God would love to be a part of that thing that they're already doing. Mm. And that God is also for that good thing that they might be doing. And again, this isn't to say that every single song belongs, you know, on a Sunday morning.
No.
Including some of the music I listened to this morning when I was working out. I can't imagine everything having its liturgical use,
no,
so to speak. But I think we need to expand our minds a little bit. I mean, when I go to a great restaurant and like I had some pizza last week, and there's something about the way this place in Arizona makes pizza, and the flavor of the sauce is like nothing else.
Mm.
No one else can do this. Nobody. And I've had pizza all over the world and at some great places, and we all have our favorites. And I'm just going to tell you. And by the way, right down the street, Noto, pretty good too.
I mean, so good.
Yeah, spot. Like spot on.
If you're here in St. Charles, you need to go there.
But when you meet somebody that like can cook for you that way, there's like a part of me that's like, that's what it's going to be like at the table of God. Like, that's the feast that Revelation's talking about. It's going to be like that. And so, like, I just appreciate people who have found the thing they were meant to do, and to see them like harmonizing in that thing they were meant to do. It's like, you've already found a lot of God, whether you know him or not yet, because you're starting to really fulfill your purpose. And God would be so happy with you for doing that purpose. Again, whether they know him or not, it just brings me so much joy to see people just do that thing that they're able to do.
And it doesn't have to be within four walls of a church.
No. And in fact, if we only stay within four walls of the church, how sad would that be for the rest of the world? Yeah, I think maybe there's some beauty that's out there in the world that the church needs to experience. And I think that there's some real beauty in Christians that the world needs to experience. And if all we're doing is always hiding, protecting ourselves, how sad is that?
Yeah.
The metaphor I've used before is a lot of churches, most churches maybe, their dominant metaphor for how they describe the church seems to be a nursing home. It's a place where people go to be cared for before they die. And I wish the church's dominant metaphor was more like a maternity ward, giving birth to new life over and over again, daily, giving birth to new and beautiful people, giving birth to the next generation, like empowering them. Like, I wish churches thought of themselves, at least like had a vision that it can be that way.
Yeah. Well, I would love to hear the songs that have made an impact on you, but not this week. So come back in 2 weeks for our part two conversation with Pastor Jim Mueller, and we'll talk more about the songs that influenced him that made a difference, as well as more about the gospel according to you two.